There's a thousand murdered women living out there. They're all living for the devil they care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly. I write for the Sunday News Magazine, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on...
the Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday.
Yes, Bay City Rollers.
Oh, the wait, that was, no, this is S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Night.
I was doing the Elton John version.
Oh, you were doing
you
Saturday.
You defaulted. That was Saturday, impressive default, because That's often my default as a Bay City Rollers.
Yes, you're right. It was S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Did you have the Bay City Rollers poster?
Yes.
By any chance, were you a Bay City Roller fan?
It was my second concert I've ever been to in my life.
Okay, this had to be in Land of the Cleaves.
Yes, and you know what number one was?
Let me think.
You never guess in a million years.
Okay, where was it? It was in Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay, was it, give me the genre. Pop, rock, country,
folk.
Soul? Folk.
Folk. I would say folk.
Folk?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay, Kenny Rogers?
No, I'll give you a song. In the wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald.
Gordon Lightfoot.
My father loved
Longfellow
Gordon
Serenade. That's Neil Diamond.
No, it was Gordon Lightfoot. He's also sang Sundown, you better take care. So I think that's folky, right?
Yeah, that's, you're right. No, you're right about the genre.
But that was my first concert. And I used to dread having to go see, but then again, he did take me to see Andy Gibb. So I guess it was good.
Gordon Lightfoot like in his appearance at one point in his life. Gibb looked a little like Lightfoot in their peak.
Yeah, like he was just kind of like, you know, just chilling, kind of very granola, I guess. It was a very boho, I guess we would say. But it was so funny. My dad loved Gordon Lightfoot, and what was so strange, and he loved The Wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald, other than Danny Boy, was his favorite song.
Do you know that on the anniversary
of my father's death, when I've ever been in Cleveland and listening to the radio, which was pretty much always, you know, like until I moved because we didn't have satellite and all that, was on every day on the anniversary of his death, I would hear the Edmunds Fitzgerald come on somehow on Cleveland radio.
You hear it walking through a mall, or you hear it, that song is on a lot. It's like an elevator.
It would be so weird, but I just remember, near, near, near. They call it Get Your Goomy.
My parents had that album, and it was the it was him, and he was in a concert, right, holding a guitar.
Yes.
This iconic image of Gordon Lightfoot. He played in the Smith Center not long ago. Lightfoot.
Okay,
years
the
ago,
fact
right?
that if he's ever in town, I'm just going to have to go, considering it was my first concert ever. And
if he comes back, we'll go to it. Yeah.
As a child, I probably, let's see, well, my father died when I was 17, so, but as I probably saw Gordon Lightfoot 10 times.
Oh my God. That is amazing.
Yes.
That's every tour then.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, and I'm talking like third row, you know, because you can imagine like a 6-year-old is just dying to see Gordon Lightfoot.
one of my first concerts, it might have been my first, was Seals and Crofts. Remember them?
Wow, of course
Diamond
I do.
Girl. Yeah. I always get them mixed up. It was in the same year of when I was 10, and the same, within a couple of months, I saw Neil Sedaka.
Remember Sedaka his big, is back.
Yeah, his big comeback tour.
Yes.
Bad Blood was one of the songs. And what was the other? He had a huge hit too. There was a time when strangers were welcome here. That was a big hit. And then I saw Seals and Crofts in Pocatello, Idaho.
And I also remember that I did one time also see Captain and Tennille.
Okay. That was around
Muskrat Susie.
Yeah, they were huge in that period. You know, Tony Tennille was the state of Nevada's ambassador for music, or she ran the state's music program for a while.
Did they divorce?
Yeah, I think they did.
But it was something recently and very bizarrely.
You know what it was? It had to do with, as I understand it, I have to look this up, but it had to do with
the music royalty or health coverage or something.
It was health coverage and also royalty concerns.
Yeah.
But it was definitely health coverage for him that he needed to be away from her to get proper health care.
Yeah, it was something strange like that. Like it wasn't really a divorce. It was a divorce of convenience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're in a marriage of convenience at that point? No, it's a real marriage, but a divorce of convenience.
Yeah,
it usually works the other way around.
Living.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know how it all works out, but I hope that they're all well, and I hope Gordon Lightfoot's well. I hope it's all well.
I do too.
The other concert we must see. You know that I have a very deep-seated love for. as you know, because I sang it at the top of my lungs whenever we did our road trip, was Gino Vannelli. I'm lost.
That wasn't on the road trip. That was in Montana.
No, it was on
the
road
trip. Did you sing it on the road trip,
too? On the road trip, I sang it over and over again. That and I just want to stop
and tell you what I feel about
you, babe. Okay, this has been like a walk down memory lane.
Tennille. With that, we have, we're going to be our own guests this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Because we really kind of, things have been weird. We haven't been together a lot lately.
Yeah, we're reunited and it feels so good. So we're going to talk about.
Is it herb or herb?
Peaches and herb.
Okay, it's not herb.
Herb is a spice. We're going to take a break so our favorite journalist, aside from me, I kid.
I was going to say.
Josh Bell is going to talk about movies. His movies this week are Burnt and Our Brand Crisis. Those are two different
movies. Oh, I want to see Our Brand Crisis. It's the one with Billy Bob Thornton and Sandra Bullock about people that are strategists for campaigns. It looks really good. It's getting good Oscar buzz.
Awesome. And we're going to hear about what Josh thinks about it right now, and then we're going to come back. So stick around. Yeah, we will.
Hi, this is Benjamin D. Hale. I'm here with John Katz and The Dish.
Adam Jones, the Langham, is now one of the best and most interesting places in London to come and eat.
Which part of that don't you like, one of, or interesting?
I don't want my restaurant to be a place where you come and eat. I mean, we should be dealing in culinary orgasms. When's the last time you had an orgasm that was interesting?
That's Bradley Cooper as Chef Adam Jones and Sienna Miller as his love interest and sous chef in the culinary dramedy Burnt. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Adam is a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, starting over as the executive chef of an upscale London restaurant. But the movie never conveys any kind of anguish over addiction or recovery. Instead, it breezes through a predictable plot about a self-absorbed jerk becoming slightly less self-absorbed. Burnt is filled with glossy images of gorgeously prepared food, but its characters and story are significantly less flavorful. I give Burnt 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Our Brand is Crisis, a comedy starring Sandra Bullock as an American political consultant working on an election in Bolivia.
We're going to do something to Rivera that no politician wants to have done to them. We are going to define him. The attack line is that he's a crook. He's corrupt, he's inexperienced, and he lies.
Based on a 2005 documentary of the same name, Our Brand is Crisis turns political activism into fodder for mediocre Hollywood comedy, with fictional characters in a loosely adapted version of the documentary's narrative. Bullock makes for an appealing star, but the movie never commits to making any kind of political statement, instead settling for tame humor and an overly neat wrap-up. I give Our Brand is Crisis 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the invisible guest.
You know,
we have no guests this week.
Exactly, because, you know, we don't need no guests. Mm. Because of the fact, let's face it, we've been apart a lot lately. We've both had a lot going on, and we're both coming back together.
I'm beset by personal problems, as usual, career conflicts, financial woes. You? I kid, of course. I'm doing great. What's happened, Dish? No,
I've got more issues than Vogue.
You've got issues that need tissues.
Tissues, I know. Yes, no, it's been a, it's been, I've been doing,
Vogue.
Well, of course.
I saw Madonna in your absence, speaking of Vogue.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I know, I really wanted to see that.
We went to that previously.
Yeah.
Same type of show.
Yeah, same type of show.
It was
really
cool. She was less preachy. Except
really?
When she played Papa Don't Preach, but she
well,
she
I just remember at that concert, it was, I think it was Calvin Harris opened for her that time.
Oh, no,
it was
Martin
somebody.
Solvig?
I don't know, somebody opened. A DJ opened, and that was the first time I'd seen a show that a DJ opened the show.
Same thing at this one.
But the problem was, is that there were a lot of people that I think had been do you remember this, Katz? I think people had been taking some sort of a non-prescribed medicine situation.
Yeah.
People were definitely under the influence of something. But so what happens is that the DJ played and it was like everybody was all crazy and dancing and insanity. And then it was like an hour and 45 minutes, almost 2 hours later, she came on stage. Remember?
Yeah, it was Martin Solvig. I'm positive who we saw. And I can't remember the name of the person last time, but it was the first time in my instance, too, that I'd seen a DJ in that kind of forum. And it doesn't work. I don't feel, in my opinion. I don't think it works in an arena. It can work in a nightclub. But when you're playing to 12,000, 13,000 people...
Yeah, and it was
like
just
it.
Kind of, and then by the time Madonna came out, like, I know, I was like, Like, I mean, it was, I think I left during the encore. We left during the encore, didn't we, Dan? Maybe? I don't remember.
You know what? Oh, man, we might have. I felt like her performance most recently was far better. It was a little bit better paced. And, you know, the thing about Madonna is it's a generous show. She throws the whole thing at you. You know, it's very inventive.
It's a staging and everything and the dance, choreography,
like
everything. Yeah. Like, it's like a performance art.
I sat next to a woman whose son was in the show, who's a dancer in the show. And she was happened to be sitting next to me. Oh, my God, this woman was coming apart. She had not seen this tour. He's been on two tours with her. Oh, my God, it was
so
funny.
There's a lot of cool pole action.
There's some cool pole action. There's some good spiral staircase action in it. There's a wall, a vertical wall. It looks like it came out of Ka in this show. And, you know, the costuming is all great. The obvious choreography. Musically, her background, her backing band is Nails. And the dancers are the best in the business. And she, my favorite moment in it was when she played Burning Up. And she was just playing guitar with her band. She was in the middle of the room. The stage jutted out in a very phallic way.
very
long phallus,
yes.
And she was in the middle of that and playing guitar.
That's a great
singing.
Song. That's the thing I love when she
and
throws
really
in some crazy
it.
Old school. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that.
Yeah, it was really raw, and
you
I like that.
You wanna see me down on my knees?
Yeah,
I love that song. Yeah, it's a great song.
She is you can make an argument. Maybe you'd agree with this that Madonna, at least in our sphere. It might be the most influential female artist of all time.
I agree.
Time.
I think that, you know, in reality, I think if there wasn't a Madonna, we wouldn't have the Katy Perrys.
Right.
We wouldn't have the Lady Gaga for sure.
Totally.
Miley Cyrus, all of that. Like, the way of, like, the reinvention and the concept. And I will say she has managed to stay relevant for, what is it, four decades now?
Her first hit was Borderline in 81.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, you know.
I think was her first hit. What was it? Or Shining Star. I can't remember which came out first, but her first album was in
Lucky
81.
Star, yeah.
And she was on, I don't know if you remember, American Bandstand.
Yes, and she said she wanted to conquer the world.
I was talking to the guy who plays, Kenneth Banks, who plays Madonna in the Divas show. I wrote about him in advance of the show, and I asked him, I brought up that moment. I said, I remember watching American Bandstand when we still watched American Bandstand.
Yeah, on Saturday mornings.
And he said the same thing, right as you did. He said she wanted to conquer the world, and he goes, and she turned around and pretty much did it.
And just even when you think about the early goings of reality TV, Truth or Dare... That movie was basically what we watch on our television screens. It was like kind of that first time that was like a documentary, but it wasn't about something. It was just literally following her around.
That was Blonde Ambition, wasn't it? Wasn't that the Blonde Ambition tour?
Yeah, it was after Blonde Ambition, and also she just done Dick Tracy. It was supporting
Beatty
that
was
tour.
In it a lot.
Yeah, Warren Beatty was, and that was when she was flirting with Antonio Banderas, and it turned out his wife was there and whole thing. Yeah, that was that whole thing. But
got to tone down the scene. She tells her father says because her mother's in the audience.
Yeah, so the stepmother's in that. You know, that he's gonna be nice. She's like, I will not do my. I will. She kind of makes herself. She. Happy, I guess you could say during like a virgin is the best way to say it, and that she was going to get arrested for profanity.
Yeah, and her father asked about toning it down, and she said she wouldn't compromise her art.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my mom would be like, you're grounded even today. But that, you know, it was it's like she really did. I mean, she has found a way to keep herself relevant and not. You know, especially nowadays. I mean, back then, I mean, obviously you look at the Frank Sinatras, even though till the time he passed away, or the Tony Bennett's or Wayne, you know, AKA our theme song singer, Wayne Newton, that, you know, it's to have that kind of longevity in a career is pretty, you know, it's pretty impossible. I mean, you look back on it and you look at today. I mean, I think that people are just such there today, here today, gone tomorrow acts, you know, like acts that were huge, you know, 5 years ago, some of them, you know, they don't even know.
Well, I think the thing is, you're absolutely right. I agree with everything that you said there. I think the problem we are having is there's no real music industry apparatus for new artists to break and sustain like they used to and tour multiple times. I think that's one of the issues, because it used to be you'd get a record deal, you cut an album, you'd have a hit or two off that album, a couple of singles, and you tour. And while you were touring, you would write, you come back and record and repeat the process. All these bands did this. And today you don't have that pattern. So our big arena draws are people like Madonna who have become Production show artists rather than recording artists.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know when Madonna's last album was
released. She had the Rebel Heart, but I can't tell you when song
that's
was
the
on
title.
It.
Yeah, that's the title of the tour, and it's ostensibly supporting that release. But I don't know it. But I do. I really remember all of her hits in the 80s and
early 90s.
Yeah, I
remember Blondie Ambition. I remember everything from you know even music, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And
that was more recent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was probably the last one where I really could know all the songs. Yeah. You know, the best she did the Immaculate Collection,
right?
That
right.
And I think that was my, because I had, up until that point, I had seen just about every tour that she did, and I have to say with that one, she it was just kind of like her greatest hits.
Yeah.
So that's all it was uh-huh. all greatest hits, and that was probably one of my favorite shows, because it was just every, like, I saw Who's That Girl in Cleveland. I mean, I saw all of those. But I do say, I remember going to see the one was the girly show,
right?
And I remember that there was this crazy pole dancer that was bald, a female. And it was kind of rumored that she might have had something going with her because they were very erotic on stage and stuff like that. That woman turned out to be Carrie Ann Inaba.
Oh, okay. And it, the rumor was like Madonna was having
it. Yeah, like it was kind of like everything. They're like, oh, she has this female dancer that she's very racist. Which, you know, everything that she does is provocative. You know what I mean?
All of it.
That it's kind of, it was, and none of it was true, but it was just kind of like everyone was speculating about that she's, you know, crazy this, crazy that. But it turned out, and now look at Carrie Ann Inaba, the biggest family show in the world, Dancing with the Stars. She's been one of the judges for how many years? But on that girly show tour, she was bald and pole dancing.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's great acting. One way or the other, she's a great actor in whichever role it is.
Exactly. So it's, you know, it's kind of, but I mean, so I, you know, when I saw that she was in, I've been so out of it with being under the weather that I haven't, I didn't even realize she was in town until I saw, actually, until I saw your stuff.
You know, the shows that we've seen this year, well, you were at the Aerosmith show, right?
Yes.
Another legacy artist.
Phenomenal.
Fantastic. And I saw my favorite band, Rush, was in town on their 40th anniversary tour, which might be the last. Just, again, the place came apart. And we're talking about artists who, Madonna's 57, Steven Tyler's in his mid-60s, 66, 67, maybe himself. Rush is in their 60s, early 60s, that band. I'm like, where are the new artists? Where's,
well,
I also saw Imagine Dragons this year, you know, and I've seen the Killers play at iHeartRadio and those types of things. But I'm wondering where are the killer young acts? Where's this next generation Aerosmith coming from? I don't know.
Even when you look back, and at one point it was like Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears, that was the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Britney may have had a couple hits lately, but really, in reality, where have their hits been?
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember the last time Christina had a hit.
And look at who we're booking in Las Vegas. You know, we've got Britney Spears. We got Jennifer Lopez coming in January, you know, who's kind of crossed over a lot of generations. We got John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival playing the Venetian coming up. Diana Ross next week coming to town.
Oh my gosh, I have the funniest story about Diana Ross. Okay, I was at a charity event this time last year for Make-A-Wish in Miami. And she was, I mean, it was something, it's like a $2,000 a person ticket. I mean, it was one of those like crazy that my family went to. It was one of those crazy where they raise a lot of money. All for Make-A-Wish, and they have Make-A-Wish kids there. I mean, it's a wonderful charity. And so we're there. So obviously people are paying big money, so they have big acts every year. And it was Diana Ross.
Yeah.
And so she comes, and so I race. I'm in a full gown. I race so that I am literally like standing next to stage, right? So I have all these pictures of Diana Ross over my shoulder. It's so amazing. I'm like, I'm literally looking at Diana Ross. And this girl keeps trying to take a picture of Diana Ross or video or something, and she has her flash on, her light from her videotape. And Diana Ross keeps putting her hand out, like, no, no. Finally, she snaps.
Diana Ross snaps.
Takes the girl's camera, her phone, and goes, how would you like this in your face? And turns it around so that the light is in this girl's eyes.
Oh, my God.
I was
really?
Like, whoa, Miss D, slam
and
it.
And this person who's doing it is probably a significant individual in some way.
In
that room.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Well, I was probably the most unimpressive person that was there. Like, I'll be honest with you. I was not there on my own fortune and fame, that's for sure. It's so funny that it's like, it was kind of what I wanted from Diana Ross. I kind of want her to be a bit of a diva.
You know, I've understood two things about Diana Ross, and they run counter. First, her first run at the Venetian, I heard that she was really nice and everybody in the band liked her and all this stuff. Subsequently, I heard by the end of that run, that was not the case, that she was not so pleasant. Now, I don't know where the reality is, but I have understood over the course of her career that she can be very demanding.
Yeah.
Very demanding. So I'm interested in seeing how this next run which at the Venetian, she sold out every performance. And yeah. See how that
she's
plays.
A legend. I mean, she is. Definitely. She's definitely. And mm-hmm. I got to tell you, she worked. She performed. She yeah. had the dress. She had the hair. She had the whole thing. I loved it. You know, Mahogany, the whole thing.
Yeah,
was
musically,
great.
This thing was incredible. She'll be great again. Yeah. I want to talk about, I want to ask you in a moment about Shenandoah, but I want to plug the Nevada Ballet Theater first before we do that.
Yes, we must talk about your yes. involvement in this. This is exciting.
Now, I was asked recently to take part in a Balanchine celebration, the best of ballet, Hollywood, and Broadway. Now, how do I fit into this show? There is a piece in this show called Slaughter on 10th Avenue, and it's a third of the performance at the Smith Center, and they have a piece built into this where there's a character who plays the role of, that's called the gangster, and it's actually a hitman who's hired to carry out a killing of the lead male dancer. The lead male dancer and the prima ballerina are involved in a love triangle, and the guy who was with the prima ballerina is hiring me to shoot the
main competition.
Yeah. So
does this involve you wearing tights?
No dancing.
Tights?
No.
Darn
I will
it.
Be wearing a pinstripe suit, not unlike what Bob Torti wears.
Oh, my crush. You just had to bring up my
Rock
crush.
Of Ages.
The new Mr. Downtown.
Really ridiculous wide pinstripes, Dick Tracy vibe. So I have three lines in the show. I'm working out with them. I rehearsed with them already once. I'll be rehearsing with them a bunch of other times. And this show is going to be presented on November 8th at 7:30 p.m. and again November 9th at 2 p.m. the matinee at Reynolds Hall at the Smith Center, and I've been already. It's been an eye opener. This is not.
So, is your family coming in?
You know, I haven't even thought of that. I don't know.
Mama and cats and daddy cats are going to come to be like, oh, Mama. That's my baby up there, just like the Madonna dancer.
No.
Just like the Madonna dancer
no.
was the other night.
Well, if
you can
I call
be like,
my oh. Mama Cat, she's not going to talk to me anymore. It's Mama Santa these days.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Everybody does that except me. But I think...
Because you can still get grounded.
I don't know. Yeah, she still has grounding rights. It's a weird thing legally that she's obtained those and sustained those. So anyway, I'm going to be doing that, and I'm going to be writing about it. They're all fired up about it, and I'm all fired up about it. But the person who's done this before is Mike Piazza. He used to play for the LA Dodgers and New York Mets and Florida Marlins. He's an all-star baseball player. He was in the show in Miami a couple years ago, did the same thing I'm doing. So, yeah. Here, one of my lines is this.
Okay, let me clear your throat. Get in character.
You should have told me sooner. I would have worn my tux.
What?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Academy Award. Sorry, the Tony Award goes to.
And then I threatened to fire a gun from the wings of the theater. From the box. Yeah.
Wow.
So there you
kind
go.
Of like a little Lincoln.
A little Lincoln action.
Little
yeah,
Lincoln action.
without the presidential assassination.
Well, I will
what's
be
happening
playing,
with you? What's going on with you? Tell me about Shenandoah.
Oh my gosh, it's going really, really well.
Good.
And it's very because we've just had a lot going on, the people I was just there today, and the people are hysterical because when Wayne actually shows up, because he comes there, he's there at some point every day. A lot of times people don't see him, sometimes they do. Mm-hmm. But it just happens that there were some things that he had some meetings, and so was more visible.
So he's at the Shenandoah while
yeah,
there's a tour.
Yeah, so people are taking a tour, and all of a sudden there he is. It was so funny. He like came and did there's this kid taking a picture by a car, and I purposely, I knew he was going to do this. I go, you know, why don't you give me your camera, and I'll take the picture. And so as I'm taking the picture, this kid's there, and all of a sudden up comes Wayne Newton behind him and photobombs him. It was really funny.
So did the kid know he was
all
behind?
Of a sudden, like, then all of a sudden everybody started laughing. The kid turned around and was like, oh my gosh. It was so cute. And this one little kid,
awesome.
It was so funny. Like, he was bent down and he went to go touch Wayne's hair. And then he was like a child. Like, I'm talking like 4 years old, 3 years old. And then all of a sudden at the last minute, he changed his mind. Like, I don't know if I could touch his hair or not.
Oh my God.
It was so cute. But everything's going great. You know, it's just...
Is Boo the monkey doing well?
Boo is doing great. And the... oh my gosh, those baby Dama wallabies. I'm not Dama Dama. I'm not swearing. It's what they're called.
Oh.
Wallabies.
Those
it's not
darn
like,
Dama
it's
wallabies.
Not like the Dam Tour. You know, like when you go
Hoover
over...
Dam.
Yeah, Hoover Dam Tour. So... that it's not swearing. So,
nope.
But so these wallabies are adorable. Like I just kind of, you know, it's because I'm working so much and I'm doing all this stuff. It's It's fun. It's fun to see people's excitement and to see how everything.
Well,
that
you've
all
got
of our
to see this thing.
Yeah.
You've got to. I was talking to a friend of mine about Shenandoah, and some way to package our really cool attractions as one experience, like a 4-pack of tickets or a pass that would rope in like the Mob Museum, the Atomic Museum, maybe the Liberace Mansion, you know, and have that be a thing, you know, get all the classics together because it definitely belongs in that realm. Did you read the column I wrote about Siegfried and Roy? I wrote a column about Siegfried and Roy last week, and here
I saw
him,
your social media. I didn't see the column.
Okay, here's what I asked. I was going to talk to you about this. I asked Siegfried and Roy. They've unveiled some new cubs at the secret garden.
Adorable.
If it's a secret garden, why they keep selling tickets and sending me information about it? Anyway,
it's a well.
I asked
secret.
Them that too. If it's a secret, how come we're all out here? Anyway,
I love that.
You're funny. I asked them about making Little Bavaria or the Jungle Palace open to the public because they've got two estates. They got that Little Bavaria is incredible if you've ever had a chance to go out there. And they didn't like the idea, you know. They didn't like the idea of opening it up to the public. And I was like, what a shame, you know, that people can't see that. I'm hoping that they would reconsider at least some sort of private or public tours that are, you know, more exclusive. But I don't know. I think they need to see, those guys need to see Shenandoah and what you've done out there.
I would like to see that. It's, I mean, I have to say it's, you know, people are just blown away. And it's so hard for me because, again, I have no, I'm so close to it that I've literally been living in there for months. That's why I have no idea what's in town. Siegfried and who? Are they ex? So do they, no. What are they? You know,
but like, I think Shenandoah in your hands is probably... you have a different feeling about Shenandoah because it's like it's been your home.
Exactly. Yeah, I lived there for so many years. And then even then just putting together the museum. Yeah. I mean, I could literally go down and beep. Da, 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 da. Like I can list every single thing in every single case and know what its history is. And that's kind of strange that like I can do it without even thinking twice about it. But there were things that I found that I was wowed about 3 months ago when we found it. You know, so it's kind of.
He had saved a whole bunch of stuff and hadn't opened it in a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
His, like actually, it was old... his mother. Saved them.
Some of those old costumes, right?
Yeah, his mother saved, I mean, I'm talking clippings and letters that Jack Benny wrote him. His mother saved them all, and he never, after his mother's passing, he just never opened her personal cedar chest. And so about a year ago, and, you know, coming back to doing this, just, you know, and looking around things, he opened it up and he found all of the old costumes that his mother made for him and his brother when they were 4 years old, 6 years old, and all the old pictures. Those were actually the costumes they had in the pictures. And then, and some of them, they were so poor, they have felt instead of real. And you know, and they're, the bottom of the curtains she used to make a little fringe on the. I mean, it's the sweetest thing.
That Gone with the Wind reference.
Yeah, the Gone with the Wind reference. Yeah, it's so, which of course we all always go and think of Carol Burnett with the rod in her back. But you know, and then and also I'm playing in I wish I knew what the exact. It's a for women's breast cancer before the end of the month, before Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm playing in a golf tournament tomorrow as junior golf champ of Avon Oaks Country Club in 1987, okay. 85 maybe.
Okay.
I have not, I don't think that's, I think that might be the last time I played.
Oh my gosh. Well,
and I'm playing in this. So by the time we air, actually, I will have already played in this.
Well, hide behind something solid.
It's best ball. It's best ball, so it's good. I'm going to practice
hide behind
in the
something solid. Okay, with that, we're going to close up our reunion show. Thanks, Dish, for all that.
Oh my gosh,
great
it is
combo.
Fun.
Take care, y'all. Viva!